Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage, confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from ABC's Station 19, Jay Hayden. With Gina Gratt on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, he's such an alcoholic, he went to Retox. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on Monday. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spreading the good cheer around. Find someone today and share this podcast with them.
Share the good news.
Thank you in advance. Good day, Gina Graham.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. Who's going to borrow my spent condom?
1, 2, 3, not it.
I want to thank Upstart. Go to upstart.com/Adam for this half of the show. And Castrol, you can tweet us your challenge. I just had a Castrol challenge question pop up very near and dear to something that just happened in my life. I was literally just complaining on the phone to somebody about this. I'll get into that. Bespoke posts. Go to boxofawesome.com. Enter Adam. Get your 20% off. Jay Hayden is coming on. He's from a show called Station 19, and it's an ABC show. It's coming back to ABC, second season. I'll talk to him about that. He's been in over 50 commercials. There's something about booking commercials, which is a unique gift, and booking things and auditioning. And generally, I don't know if it's a first date thing or I don't know what it is. It's a little bit of a unique set of skills that I never had those skills, and which is fine, but be aware when you don't have skills. I was aware I didn't have any of those skills. Like, you know, when I started my career, people say, well, you get some headshots, you get an agent, you get a resume, you go out on those auditions, and I was like, nah, I'm gonna go take a Groundlings class and do some open mics and kiss up to Kimmel. And I thought, and people are like, well, you gotta get an agent, you gotta get a,
yeah,
you know,
get
and I was
there.
Like,
I
don't,
who's Kimmel?
It's not gonna work for me. I'm not gonna go in the room and impress anyone. What I will do is I'll show up at K-Rock Radio, and over the course of months,
I'll convince
people into understanding that I'm funny.
Grind them down like a
yes. I'm not gonna do it in 80 seconds reading one page. It's just not the way I'm wired. So, but I had a funny conversation with Max Pata while I was walking the dog today. I said, so give me the lowdown on Jay Hayden. And he said he's plays a gay fireman at Station 19. And I said, is he gay in real life? And Max Pata's answer was, what?
I don't think he is. I haven't heard anything.
I said, well,
the rumor hasn't got to
why
me
would you hear something if he was gay or not gay?
I heard things.
And then, because he's a man of great conviction who evidently thinks there's 700 hours in a day and he's going to live till 150. He then did lap two, which was saying, what, Max Zapata? I want to ask again. I still want to know if he's gay, because oftentimes a guy is gay, mm-hmm. but sometimes he's not gay, right. But sometimes people don't like it when somebody's playing gay.
Like Eric
and not
McCormick,
and
Will and Grace.
Not gay. Yeah. So you came back with what?
I said, well, look, there are a lot of straight guys that play gay people, like more straight people play gay guys, like in Will and Grace or Modern Family. Or
just Modern Family is what you said. And I said, Modern Family, let's explore that one. One guy is gay, and the other guy isn't gay, so I don't know if there's any more glorious way you could make my point of we don't know that sometimes they're gay and sometimes they're not gay. When you brought up the only show that I can think of in history where there were two gay men, but one of them was straight, extra straight.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
And the other is extra gay.
And to prove your point, Eric McCormick straight, Sean Hayes gay, Will and Grace.
Oh.
He didn't hear that one.
Sorry. I mean, okay.
You were so right. Then oh, it God. Was time to triple check, which was, we could ruminate about this for another block or two. Or you could simply go on
in dog walking blocks.
Yes, you could go online and find out if this person's gay. Now, so what I'm saying is I don't know. You don't know. The answer is when I get my computer, I'll check.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you.
Yeah, yeah. I said I don't think he is. I haven't heard anything because usually if a guy is gay coming in, I would know. That's usually information that that makes itself.
At the clubs or what?
You're plugged in?
No, look, it's not egregious. When we had to break it down as to who was actually gay on TV, who got to play gay people, and who was straight, that was just taking it into another... that was bringing us into the land of we'll never get our lives back again. We'll check online. We'll see if he's married, and we'll figure it out.
The problem with that logic is there are many, 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 many more examples of gay men playing straight. Throughout Hollywood and
TV
history.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Many more.
You know, if I didn't run into that cul-de-sac, we could have kept going.
You should go around and around.
No, but there's an interesting point that I'm going to name interesting. I like when I take other people's foibles and I call them interesting learning points for everyone else. Chris Maxipata made a statement. And the statement was, I don't think Jay Hayden is gay. Mm. I didn't hear anything. Mm-hmm. And I kind of pushed back against that statement. And I said, why would you hear something? It's a 31-year-old actor we don't know a lot about.
It's not a household name yet.
And you can go on your computer and find out.
Right.
But because he had his initial premise, we then had to peel the premise onion. And I cried. Believe me, I cried when I peeled that onion. We had to go a couple more laps to cool him down from his initial premise, which he didn't need to initially have. Right. That's an interesting thing. When people, so what it is you take a posture, which is, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. And then the other person goes, well, it could happen. And they go, well, here's why it's not. And you then explore that, but you don't need to explore it.
He's not the center fielder on the balls of his feet, ready to go in any direction when the ball's hit. He's shading left or right or whatever it is.
Well,
I said I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure this guy's going to hit the ball the other way. So
you said you don't think so. Right, no, what happened was is the center fielder, he started off on the balls of his feet in center field. Then he started leaning forward, and then he started moving forward.
You're showing bunt.
And what? Bunt. And then when I said, this guy looked like he got all of this ball, he said, no, it's still going to drop in for a Texas leaguer. I'm staying the course. I'm just saying, look, we're all guilty of this, but it's interesting that it's not based on anything. We don't have arguments over who's gay and who's not gay or who's smarter because he can guess more gay guys on TV than I can or Jay Hayden or anything.
That
it's
is one of the
simply,
yardsticks.
That's right. He did start.
It's on the Mensa test.
Yeah.
He did,
trust me.
He did start the conversation by saying that Jay remodeled his home, did such a wonderful job that his neighbor wanted him to remodel his home, too, which led me...
That's tough.
It's tough. I don't know.
That's evidence in both directions.
It pulled me a little... Yeah, well, the evidence... The work part feels straight, but the part where the neighbor appreciates the design...
The compliments.
And wants you to come... And wants you to work on their house. Yeah. I had a little... Yeah. Got me leaning a little back from my center field position. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing was gay on TV. I didn't know... You know, we're at a time where... You can't play Mexican if you're not Mexican. We people get into trouble.
Yes.
And I didn't know what the rules were for gay. Mm. I didn't know if people got into trouble or not.
Gone are the days of Mickey Rooney as an Asian man.
That's right.
Like we're in a new era.
The salad days. Mm. Anyway, not gay. Wife hot. And we're going to have to talk remods. But
wait, this is breaking. He's not gay.
Well, we found out.
Well, Chris, at some point I yelled at Chris, just get in front of a goddamn computer and just look it up. I don't want to speculate anymore. And the answer can be, you can say, here's my thing.
Sure.
You can say, I don't think so, but I'll look it up. That's what you can say. That can't say much to that. The problem is you go, I don't think so, and then you start giving me examples about why you don't think so that are insane, like Modern Family or the other show there's a straight guy and a gay guy that are both. And my last statement was, some guys are straight and play gay, some guys aren't and are, and we'll never know until we look it up. You see what I'm saying?
We can agree to disagree.
Oh, no.
Tell me the part of this story. Tell me this part of the story that makes you correct.
I was half correct on Modern Family, but half wrong. And then I was half correct on Will and Grace, so that's like one full correct.
Quiet, please. Settle. You are actually 100% wrong on both, because my statement was, some guys play gay guys who are straight, and some guys play gay guys who are gay. Mm-hmm. That was my statement. You gave me the two shows that had one of each.
Right.
So you actually were not half right. You were whole wrong.
Okay. I hate math.
Really?
No, I do. I'm lying. I love math. But
do you disagree with that statement?
Do you agree
now? If I'm watching a movie and there's a gay guy being played in the movie, I don't assume he's gay. I actually assume he's straight, because I see more examples of straight guys like Jared Leto. Or Jim Carrey and I Love You, Philip Morris.
Like, Hold on. The Jared Leto, like, big time 80s AIDS thing, that's a big sort of role. Like, yeah. That's Tu Wong Fu, say hi to Julie Newmar or something. That kind of, I don't count that stuff. The roles in TV are a little different. Well,
that's crazy.
But our point is if he's coming in here and he's gay, I'd like to know, because I'd approach it a little differently or ask different questions or something like that.
Sure.
Well, certainly wipe down his stool when he's done. Get out the Clorox. But if he's not, maybe he wants to make fun of the gays with me.
That's right.
I just want to know.
In a recurring segment, is what I'm saying.
You speculating on the vast history of cinema and TV is who's been gay and who's not gay and your theories on it. It's kind of not really going to definitively answer the question of whether
doesn't get us there.
Jay Hayden is gay. So that's all I'm saying.
I see what you're saying.
I got you.
Take a good long look in the mirror.
Please.
I'm not proud of what I'm going to say.
No, look, I'm being a douche. I like Chris, but what I'm saying is it's not a place. Don't get locked into a theory and then defend it sort of based on a coin toss.
No evidence.
I see it all day where people go, why did they do it this way? They shouldn't have done it that way. And then they're going to go undo it or something. And I always go find out some more information and then we'll decide. I was...
It's too bad, because Gay Jay Hayden would be a great nickname.
All right. I got stuff to talk to you about. Dawson's, speaking of home improvements, got something. I had a little breakthrough on race relations and the homeless situation.
Oh.
And big. I think, you know, there's been a lot, slavery, Jim Crow, we ripped off the black man's music, and lots of stories of that, rock and roll and all that stuff.
Cultural appropriation.
I'm going to point out an example where I think where the black man needs to give us a little tip of the purple velvet fedora.
Okay.
I am going to bring up something where it's like, oh, thanks, white man.
As opposed to all of basketball? Thanks for inventing basketball, white folk?
Yeah, but that's kind of weird, because that's a long time ago, and it's just kind of a slow thing. But I'll give you a more recent, like a real positive, modern-day version where the black man is going to go, huh, thanks, honky. Never didn't think of it that way, but I appreciate it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Glad to hear this.
Yeah, now... again, another example, Domino's. They could teach us how to play dominoes, but
they
won't.
Yeah.
They won't. Yeah. We line them up and knock them over. And as I've said, like, hey, if we saw you guys just setting up chess pieces and then just knocking them over, I feel like a white guy knew how to play chess. We go, no, the rook does this. And
the pawn does that, and the bishop, and the Brian Bishop does that. But if we just, I wouldn't just watch you knock them over.
No, that's not a game.
You know what I mean? You guys actually play the game of dominoes. But I will give you a fine example of where the black man needs to thank whining. Okay. First, I'll tell you about Upstart. The path to financial freedom can look bleak when you have a high interest debt. Thankfully, Upstart is revolutionizing personal lending. Upstart goes beyond the traditional FICO score. They reward you based on your education, job history, with a smarter interest rate. They factor in other things. I like that about them. Go online and get your Upstart rate in 2 minutes. Check your rate. It's always free. It won't affect your credit, so why not? Just figure it out. Once your loan is approved, funds are transferred the next business day. 100,000-plus people used Upstart, pay off credit cards, fund weddings, make large purchases, whatever you got. Let's go with Upstart. Let's start learning about money and being smart. And why are you paying that high interest rate on your credit card when you can pay a much lower rate to Upstart and pay that off? Let's go with Upstart. Shall we, Dawson?
Hurry to upstart.com/Adam to find out how long your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes 2 minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/Adam. Loans are offered by Cross River Bank, a New Jersey State Chartered Commercial Bank. Restrictions apply. For details, visit upstart.com/Adam.
All right, my brothers. Here's where you should thank the honkies.
Crack cocaine.
I was talking to Mike August yesterday, and Mike was explaining that this city called Los Angeles is just falling apart. It's a sweater where somebody grabbed a frayed piece of yarn, started pulling on it, and for the last like 25 years, they were pulling slowly, and now they're just whipping on that thing. Now they have like a tuna reel, and they're sitting in a fighting chair, and we're dumping water on it, like Jaws, and smoke's coming out. They're just pulling on that thread. Some guy's dumping or pulling back again.
Some guy's got a bat.
The sweater's going under the boat, pulling back. And so he's over there in Century City. Century City is the cleanest, nicest, sort of non-homeless place. It's not like other places. It's Century City.
It's a little mini downtown, but much cleaner.
It's downtown minus all the downtowns. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all the stuff. And it's where all the Comedy Centrals, mm-hmm. and it's where they film Die Hard. And
Dr. Tomy Plaza.
Yeah, and the whole thing. But it's just big. It's just acreage of modern buildings, and not like, who lives in a crappy apartment in Century City? Like, nobody lives in
not
a crappy
a ton
apartment.
Of, neighborhoods.
There aren't even apartments in Century City. So he's driving through Century City on his way home, and there's a crazed homeless guy, white guy, out in the street, and he's just kicking cars.
Oh, no.
And Mike got his bumper grazed as he went past the guy, and then the next guy, not so lucky. I realize Mike has had now two homeless people in about 2 years approach him while he was driving his car and attack his vehicle, one on the freeway.
Oh, right.
And the other in Century City.
Did he throw down?
He didn't throw down with this guy because the guy grazed his bumper. I guess he threw down with the other guy on the freeway. So here's where the lesson comes in. I was saying, there's homeless people in Century City. There's homeless people in Santa Monica. There's homeless people in Encino. Like, all these upscale neighborhoods. And then I thought, look at Seattle. You know, why go full Unabomber or why go to Skid Row?
Mm-hmm.
See, the homeless in Los Angeles was Skid Row. It was just this mile of, I don't know, somewhere between Watts and South Central or wherever Skid Row. Find out exactly where Skid Row is. But a nasty, dicey, dirty stretch of, a place where nothing grows.
Like Thunderdome.
Yeah, no parks, no trees, no nothing. Yeah. And the homeless people were relegated to Skid Row. And at some point, and you're welcome, black people, Whitey said, as long as we're not paying any taxes or any rent, why don't we live in Santa Monica? Like, what are we doing over here in Skid Row? Everything's concrete.
There's a beach just 11 miles away.
We got a park. We got a beach. We have a climate that's conducive to us taking a dump in sandboxes where kids' swings are. Like, what are we? My thing is, like, as long as you're going to be homeless, go to Santa Barbara and be homeless. Yep. Don't go to Skid Row and be homeless. And now that Whitey has basically done to black people what black people did to Whitey in the NBA as far as homelessness. Like, hey, move over. There's a new sheriff in town.
Displacement.
We're going to appropriate this homelessness thing, and we're going to slide in.
Do what he says.
And I feel like they have led the way, that they have said to their black brothers, don't live in this. Well, where is it? Do you have it there? Skid
just
Row.
Just south of downtown, it looks like.
It's
by
a pretty
Staples.
Rough little area there.
Yeah,
it's like 6th Street-ish.
I lived here my entire life, and Skid Row were the only place that homeless people lived. Now, there was the occasional sort of crazy bum lady who walked around and talked to herself. Very occasional. Weird sort of outlier, one dude, sort of like seeing an ant colony versus the one ant you see wandering around seems to be lost in your house. Like, doesn't
it was
seem
the one
to be...
ant you knew, you know what I mean? Right. The homeless person was like,
you're
oh,
familiar
I know,
with
I know that,
that one.
Dude.
Yeah.
Right. Now, homelessness is everywhere. And again, if I told you guys you're going to be homeless for a week, where you want to go? You want to go Skid Row or you want to go Santa Monica or Palisades or whatever? So everyone has figured it out. I'm not saying that this is entirely the white man's idea. I am saying it was pretty much unchanged for about 40 years. And then Whitey got involved with this homeless process. And next thing you know, they franchised.
Right.
And it's some of the nicest real estate in the world.
Expanded.
Okay. You're welcome.
Oh.
All the brothers that are sleeping in Malibu, Palisades, Encino, Santa Monica tonight, you're welcome.
Thank the pioneers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need a lot of thanks, just a little, you know,
a little attaboy.
Yeah.
Now, one could maybe even argue that they had to pave the way, like the white Jackie Robinson, which is if the one black dude decided to bivouac in Santa Monica 25 years ago, he would have been rousted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. First one. Yeah, of course.
Now he's got a couple of white guys sort of, you know, they got a six.
Just on that, I'd like to think I live in a nice neighborhood right by LACMA, the museum district.
By the old radio station.
Exactly. A few blocks from the old station. Across the street from the station I was laid off from in November. And a nice area, beautiful houses. And I cut through the alley sometimes just to, you know, go to the Grove or whatever. And the mall. And a guy stopped me on his bike. He was like, excuse me, miss, I wouldn't go through the alley. And I was like, why? I go through the alley all the time. He goes, I just passed a guy. He was taking a crap on the cement. And here's how jaded I was. I go, it's fine. I just kept going. Yeah. We don't even think about it anymore. It was like, oh, my stars, thank you so much. And I just kept walking and saw a guy take a crap on the cement.
Well, you know, we do adopting highways out here.
Uh-huh.
You know, like Bette Midler adopts a stretch of Mulholland so it cleans it up. Can we adopt homeless people where you're just involved? You're in charge of their feces?
Do they have to wear some sort of signage like homeless person adopted by Adam Carolla?
It'd be nice.
It'd be nice.
Yeah. And then that's sort of your job to then go out with the bag, like when you walk your dog, put the leash on, take him out there for a spin.
Sure.
You'd like to not be worried about the guy taking a crap, because taking a crap mode and attack mode are two very different modes.
He's defenseless.
Yeah, but if it's a lady
from Tim Hortons.
And you're at a Tim Hortons.
It's a very different story, but...
Duck.
She, let's see. Brian's gonna help me here. We gotta find this footage. Tell Max Zapata. There he is. Oh, there's... all right, Kalen.
Tell anyone.
Tell Max Zapata. The Angels pitcher with the one arm.
Jim Abbott?
Jim Abbott.
One hand, yep.
Or one hand, sorry.
I know who you meant.
Thank you. Jim Abbott. What Jim Abbott would do when he pitched a ball and then he'd pull the mitt off real fast and throw it on the other one or whatever, that was about the same process of that chick taking a dump at Tim Hortons and chucking it at the guy. Like, that process was something that she'd evidently worked on since she was a young girl. Like, from the time her yoga pants hit her knees to the time that Duke came out of her ass, that was less than 2 seconds. Yeah. And from the time she went in onto the floor for the worst snowball fight ever, that was less than 2 seconds too. I mean, that was a Jim Abbott type move.
Wow. And Max while it was Zapata, midair, she was grabbing the napkins.
I will let you take your time. there, but I want to see a nice shot of Jim Abbott doing his complete move.
The dude threw a no-hitter.
Yeah.
For the Yankees.
She threw an all-shitter. That's where I get the big bucks, people.
She'll never question you again.
Never question me and my improv ability ever again.
Good.
All right. So here's my fantasy. You ready, Max Zapata? My fantasy is that we watch her do that move where she starts right when she starts to pull her pants down through the point where she releases the Duke from her hand. And if that's 7 seconds, we then put a Jim Abbott 7-second version. Could be halfway into his windup. Do you get the gestalt of what I'm asking, or am I going to devastated and or just disappointed when we're done?
I think I get it, but I mean, your devastation is
it's boundless.
Improbable.
It's boundless.
It might happen.
I'm guessing from her whole thing till the Duke.
I've only seen it once.
Till the Duke leaves her hand is about the same time as Jim Abbott when he starts his windup, the step back. That's my guess is about the same time.
It feels about right, but Max Pat is going to do a masterful job. Putting that together. All right. Dawson's got a build. Our guest is here, and we got the Hollywood Hand-Me-Downs game. We went back onto this website and found what kind of items did we find? The auction site. Sorry.
Oh, we have a lot of good stuff. We have the bus from Speed.
Oh,
wow!
Jerry Maguire's business cards.
Yeah, Jerry Maguire's business cards. The gun from The Professional. I mean, wow. Yeah, we got a lot of good stuff.
Wow. All right. We're going to guess on these items. Now,
we're going to guess the starting.
And which one? We're going to guess which one's more valuable.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll put up three.
Now, here's what I told him to do when I was walking into the studio, which you guys heard me say, which is I said, if something is between $20,000 and $30,000, let's just call the estimate is between 30, mm-hmm. 20 and 30. Let's just say 25
Sounds good.
Is the value. We'll just land in the middle for argument's sake of every estimate.
That's
yes?
good. Yeah.
Dawson, you wanted to borrow some tools.
Yeah, I'm going to have to buy some, definitely, but I know there are probably some little tools that I'm going to need. What I want to do is put a heavy traffic laminate flooring in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of had to pause the build until everything was, after all the electrical and lights were all done, and we just kind of threw the old carpet from my house into the studio for now.
Mm-hmm.
So... essentially, I don't want carpet in the studio. I want, a nice heavy vinyl floor. I looked it up on YouTube, saw a bunch of videos. It seems pretty forward to install these things.
Well, here's the thing.
Tongue and groove type deal.
Acoustically, you're going to do a lot better with carpet than you would with vinyl, wouldn't you?
Every studio I've been in, not that many, but like radio studios have carpet.
That's,
like this one.
That's a radio studio. Okay. Most studios I've been in have a vinyl heavy traffic
vinyl
floor.
Absorbs.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay.
As long as the floor is built acoustically, it's not a real reflection problem.
You want to put down the 2x2 or 3x3 squares? They have these big squares now that they put down.
I think that these ones are more like the long panels.
Like rollout?
Mm-mm. No, they come in I'll find the box.
You're saying tongue and groove?
Standby.
Vinyl? Seems weird. And then what tools would you like to borrow that are not over $18 at the Home Depot up the street?
Well, one thing I got to do is pull up the carpet in that old room, and I got the tacking strip down there. A very, very small kind of hammer crowbar thing that you can hammer to get underneath the nails on the tacking strip to pull up from the wood.
All right. We're now at $4. Let's keep going.
There you go. I need to buy a circular saw.
Ooh.
Well,
wait a minute. Buying a circular saw and borrowing a $4 item?
I'm going to need the saw. The saw is something. I'm not going to be uninstalling carpet 8 million times a year, but
you
might
want
to
look. Here's the deal as far as the arsenal goes. You're going to want a flat bar, a prying, whatever, crowbar, flat bar, cat's paw, whatever. There's a few different types and whatever.
Okay.
That's a $7 item at Home Depot. Okay, you're going to want one of those to live in your garage for various other things.
Not
carpet related per se. I'll have to do with him what I did with the great Patrick Dempsey.
Take him through Home Depot and just start throwing stuff in the basket.
I did. What else do you need? What is this vinyl flooring that you say is tongue and groove?
I'm trying to find it. It's
All right, I'll let you. I will let you figure that one out. We'll move forward, and then we will. I'm a little confused as to vinyl flooring that you're putting down that feels like an engineered wood floor, but we'll talk about that in a second. Max Zapata, we have our game.
I'm sorry. I said vinyl. I meant fucking laminate. I'm sorry.
This is how I get. This is my entire life.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's all right.
Yeah. No, it's a wood laminate flooring, and as far as I can tell, it comes in about 4 foot by 6 inches, maybe.
Well, it comes in a lot of different sizes, and there should be random sizes in a box so that it is. Some are 18 inches long and some are 4 foot long, and you just sort of mix and match as you work your way down. So you don't have one big long seam at every 4 foot. You feel me?
That makes sense.
Right. You want to stagger that seam. So the box itself will be like 42 inches long or something like that. Chris says standard barrier, standard height for jersey barrier. Everyone knows that. All right. But in that box will be a bunch of 42s and a bunch of 35s and a bunch of 18s, and you will mix and match all the way down.
Okay.
So that's one thing. You can do it floating. You don't have to nail it down. You can just whack it together. What's on the floor right now?
Right now it's carpet, but it's the
what's
underneath
under the carpet
is MDF, plywood, whatever the floor material is.
Yeah, it's standard. Either plywood or OSB.
Okay.
It's not MDF. Or I'll be angry if it's MDF.
Then it's not MDF.
If you find out it's MDF, lie to me so I don't fly off the handle.
Okay, well, it's not.
Okay. All right, research that a little more. Max Pata, we got a game to play here. Got a couple of quick phone calls. Let me just knock them down, and then we'll get into our Hollywood memorabilia game.
Boss.
I'll help you. You don't want a circular saw. You want a chop saw.
That's why we got to talk.
Oh, I love those commercials. There's one that's running now. Now you got to find it. It would never work the other way around. You know, there's a commercial where the white guy doesn't know anything, and that's the last bastion of making fun of things. Mm-hmm, the incompetent white guy on TV.
The guy who tries to blend the avocado whole.
Is the chop saw the one that comes down with a handle and it's got a circular blade?
Yeah.
I thought that was a miter saw.
It is.
Okay.
It's a miter saw, but people call it a chop saw. And then there's a sliding compound miter saw, but that's too much tool for you, Dawson.
I don't need that. It
doesn't need you. You don't want that.
Which is more versatile?
I like when people take time to insult. No. You don't want it. Okay?
You can't handle
it.
You
wouldn't
know too much blade for me.
You can't handle the tooth. Sawtooth.
Yep.
Okay. I got it. All right, not as good as the shit-throwing one. But,
All shitter.
I was probably just built up. Riding a wave of confidence.
Like, it's like, you know, when you had 3 three-pointers in a row, you just keep shooting until you
Yeah, but that eventually you launch it from half court. Yeah. I can't handle the tooth. All right.
Well, I'm planning on doing this Friday afternoon.
Okay. I'll mark that on my calendar.
Would you please?
I shall. Nice. All right. I can work this out with you, Dawson.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk to Jacob up here. Jacob?
Hey, how's it going, Ace Man?
Good, man.
So, real quick, you talk a lot about your old shows and programs on the show. I've never heard you mention Drawn Together. I'm wondering what your experience was on that show. I just caught an episode of it randomly on Comedy Central and was wondering if you liked it, if you felt it was quality, and just your thoughts.
Thank you.
It was like early spoofing of reality TV.
I guess it was.
Exactly.
I never saw an episode. It was a couple of guys I worked with. There's a writing team who I work with at The Man Show. And at some point, they'd gotten themselves a gig doing Drawn Together. And they were great guys. And I said, Dave and Matt. And I said, they said, could you like do us a favor at Man Show, Adam Carolla, and be the voice of Spanky Ham on Drawn Together? And I said, what I always say, which is like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And I guess, I don't know, once every other month or once a month for I don't know, three seasons or four seasons or something. I just went to this recording studio, which is shaped like a castle, because that's where all the great recordings throughout history have come from. Mm-hmm. Places with rock walls that were 8 foot thick.
Turrets
and drawbridges and lots of wrought iron.
Yeah.
You know, acoustically, that's what you want. It never... Big picture, doing the castle theme for an electronic supply place or recording studio or home never really works. I feel like I'm going to tap on everyone's shoulder in like 1981 and go, no, no.
No, castles are best like for theme parks and dining.
It's never,
not even casinos.
Yes. It never works with some history.
Yeah.
You know, once you get stand back from it a little, it just doesn't work. But anyway, I'd go to this castle place and I have a couple memories. Almost everything I did comedically, I would have to get the scripts and change them. Like, oh, I got to fix this. That's not funny. I'll come up with something better for that. I never did that with Drawn Together. The scripts were always really funny. Matt and Dave were super funny. Matt and Dave, I've never told this story before. I don't know, Max Spada. Oh, boy. See, this is my problem. Indian in a cupboard.
Classic.
The reason Matt and Dave got on to the Man Show is we got hold of a video of this two writing partner team did, which was Indian in a Cupboard, where they took actual footage from Indian in a Cupboard and mixed it in with Dave as a like gay Indian sort of village people just shaking his ass like in the cupboard, and they mixed it in with the little boy like, oh my goodness, what's going on? And it just made us laugh our ass off, and we just hired him. Again, like all the stuff where, hey, I went to this college and studied under that guy. Like, show us one funny 3-minute video. Yeah. It's like, come on down.
This is probably, if I'm gauging by the Man Show timeline, this is probably late 90s. That was a period when the internet was kind of in its infancy, and like you couldn't stream online, but like a video could be your calling card. Like George Lucas in Love was a great example of this short 5-minute video that made a big splash in Hollywood.
Think about Matt and Trey South Park.
Yeah, exactly.
The Christmas thing or whatever it was with Santa or something. Mm-hmm.
Santa versus Jesus.
The rounds.
Mid to late 90s were that sort of sweet spot where you could have a literal viral videotape.
Yeah.
We hired these guys, I'm pretty sure just based on seeing a funny videotape.
That's great.
And we're like, I don't care what college you went to. We're making funny 3-minute vignettes. You should too. So Matt and Dave went on to do that. I showed up to do Spanky Ham. I don't know why I never watched an episode. People liked it. I heard it was good.
You don't like good TV.
I don't like good TV. The scripts I read were good. I also try to stay away from myself. So, not sexually, of course. And that was it. Then later on, we did a movie, and it was sort of a cult classic. But I guess I felt I was in a mode where I was doing the Man Show and Crank Anchors and Loveline, and I felt like everything I do, I must create. And if I lend my voice to something, then it's not mine.
Right.
Or somehow I didn't create
it. So a side gig or project.
I didn't feel like ownership of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel connected of it. And I feel the same way about people who like 30-year run in a soap opera or something. Like, it's like, I don't know. Does that feel satisfying, like kind of creatively? Or is that, don't you want to create something and make it and have it be your voice or whatever? So this was a great project that I felt like had nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
And it didn't. I just went on there and did Spanky Ham. How many seasons did it run? I guess there's box sets and stuff like that. And it does come up from time to time off the air. Like people come up and go, hey, I love Spanky Ham. But I have
three.
No connection to it other than I was a voice on it. my friends produce it. But thanks, Jacob.
Yeah, no problem, Ace. And just so you know, you were the second best character on that show after the princess with the tentacles that came out of her vagina. So, you know, take that and run with it.
Yeah, quite a compliment.
You can't compete with that.
Didn't know they had that. Mm. All right.
You gotta go back and watch that show.
I think they made a movie, too. Peter, 26, Covina?
Yes.
You got a story about cell phones on a plane? Mm-hmm.
I do. So, yeah, listening to Chris tell a story about being berated by that gentleman on the airplane for using his cell phone.
Oh, sorry, man. That was me. Sorry.
Put a line on hold. There you go.
All right. I'll go to 5. Sorry. Yeah, Chris had somebody not next to him, but with somebody in between them lean over and tell him to get off his phone while the plane was on the ground and they weren't going anywhere, but the door was shut.
Is anyone else seeing this?
Love that guy. Yes.
So some people might remember that the Mythbusters actually tested this back in 2006 and found that certain cell phone frequencies can disrupt the instrumentation of unshielded of aircrafts with unshielded instrumentation wiring. To be clear, that's not flight controls, that's instrumentation. And wiring in aircraft tends to be shielded anyway to protect from the electricals of the plane itself. So in 2010, over the summer, I took some flight lessons, and I always turned my phone off before we got in the plane because I knew about that whole story or whatever. So we get up in the air, we're practicing slow flights, and I hear a ringtone, and my instructor pulls out his cell phone, looks at it, and says, okay, go straight and level, I got to take this, answers the phone, talks on the phone, and hangs up while we're in the air. Mm. And from that point on, I was like, well, obviously there's no problem because my flight instructor was willing to do it.
Yeah, there's no problem because they let you have your phones right on the plane. They would obviously,
exactly,
if it posed 1% danger, they would collect all the phones and they got
remember
off the plane.
Remember when the Samsung 7s were exploding?
Up.
That was a huge, every ticket you bought on an airplane, it came with a little instruction like, hey, no Samsung 7s.
And they even made sure you didn't put it in your carry-on so there wasn't a fire underneath the plane. That was a huge deal. You're right.
Castrol Edge. You can tweet the Adam Carolla Show at Castrol Edge with your question for Castrol Challenge, brought to you by Castrol Edge. Formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction, maximizes engine performance, three times stronger, fool.
Three times, fool.
Against the viscosity breakdown than the leading full synthetic oil. We got a question, Max Pana?
Yep, this comes from at CSIC1976 on Twitter, hashtag Castrol Challenge. Why is it bad for the fuel pump to drive on a nearly empty tank?
Everybody has an electronic fuel pump these days, and somebody can tweet me and help me with this. But back in the day, a lot of mechanical fuel pumps. Mm-hmm. But now everyone has electronic fuel pumps. And when they get starved of fuel, well, they stop pumping. If you think about a bong with no water, Dawson.
He's clutching his chest right now.
I'm with you. A shrimp tank that was empty of seawater. Trying to pick everyone's loves here. Right. But it's probably, eventually it dries out. Oh. The diaphragm dries out and it's bad. And the reason I like this question is... I got a report yesterday after I was telling you guys that Rob is a little nervous about driving around the $6 million car up at Willow Springs. He checked in with me at the end of the day, said, I'm back home safe and sound, but the car stopped working.
Goo.
And I said, what happened? And he said, I think it ran out of gas. And I said, how many gallons did you put in before we went in there? And he said, it had 17 gallons of gas. And I said, now this car gets 3 miles to the gallon, but still, that's enough for the day. And he said, they had me drive it around. They're taking pictures and stuff. They had me drive it around a lot, so I may have run out of gas. And I said, now I started to worry. Did we run out of gas, or did something break on the car?
There was no water in the bong, probably.
Dawson may be on something.
Alert.
And I said, geez, I don't know. Well, when we get it back, you know, we get to the shop tomorrow, we'll open it up and take a look around. And I started wondering, like, did something break on my car? Or did we go through 17 gallons worth of gas? I don't know. And then I got to the shop today, and he said, yeah, it was just out of gas. It just, I was going up a hill, so the way the angle was, the gas went back in the thing, and it starved the fuel pump, and I was out of gas. And then he added this one little tidbit that he hadn't passed along when I was on the phone, concerned, the day before. And there was a low fuel light blinking on the dash. And I said...
It's an indicator, literally.
Yeah. I would have been nice if you shared that with me yesterday when we were trying to figure out if it was out of gas or not. The light on the dash that
saying
says we're out of gas would have been a nice piece of information to pass along. And then I got the super unsatisfying, yeah, I guess so. Or next time. Or, okay.
You didn't ask.
I guess you didn't ask. It's like most of my cars don't have that fuel light, but this car did evidently. But if you would have added that on, then I wouldn't have had a very bad dream about my car being broken that night. I would have simply went, well, yeah. I guess we were out of gas if that light, in fact, was illuminated on the dashboard. So there you go.
That's your question?
To answer your question.
About your $6 million car?
Keep gas in your car. Mike August made this proclamation to me on the road. Never in his life has he run out of gas. And I'd like to think, I'd like to make a chart. I'd like to make a chart of the people who've run out of gas the most and the people who are doing the least. Now, my chart would read ran out of gas a lot from 15 to 27.
Right.
But then it would flatline and zero running out of gas, which meant something happened.
Yeah.
Namely, I got my shit together.
That's exactly right.
Basically. But if you show me a life dotted with running out of gas periodically, I'm going to show you a guy who probably doesn't have an MBA and
You're 100% right. That's a lesson I think twice in my early 20s and never since then. But that's a lesson you learn, hopefully, pretty early on.
Yeah, and it doesn't really make sense to run out of gas. There's really not, unless your tank
like you
is leaking.
You don't have shit together, which, that's an indicator.
I mean, it tells you every step of the way where you're at.
I had a 68 Super Beetle when I was 17, and I used to run out of gas on purpose so I could skate the car into the gas station.
How do you skate it in?
Well, it had the side rails on it, and it's a VW Bug, so it's light as hell. And you just run along the side of it with the door open, and then jump on the sideboard and hold the wheel and essentially skateboard your car into the gas station.
Did you?
And then fall into the seat, hit the brake when you line up.
Did you need to run out of gas for that?
So it would coast?
I mean, I feel like you could have left a gallon in the tank and still done that.
I could have, but no, I wasn't.
Where's the drama in that?
Exactly. It's no fun. That's cheating.
This leads me to a bigger point. Yeah.
Biff's after you.
I think I want to play this, our Hollywood memorabilia game, Hollywood Hand-Me-Downs. I think we'll play it with Jay Hayden. I think.
Oh, with Gay Jay?
Not Gay Jay.
Brian, it's like you weren't even here.
Possibly discuss a little home improvement with Dawson as well. This brings me to a very good point, which is I used to run out of gas all the time. I had a Honda 404 motorcycle, a smallish motorcycle, and I would go to the Arco station and put in 50 cents, 80 cents into the tank. Like, you know, gas was a buck.
That's a gallon.
A gallon. And I needed half a, all I could afford was half a gallon or something. I'd do that and ride around for a while and blah, blah, blah. I made mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes with a lot of things, like repeatedly and over. And then I stopped. I realized it wasn't working for me. And I stopped. And I was constantly trying to adjust myself to what would work and still am. The people that don't are of great interest to me lately. And also this, I was saying to Matt DeAndrea, as I was driving back from Willow Springs, I said, I used to think bananas were good for me. I used to think they were healthy. Like when they'd say, hey, eat more fruits and vegetables. Yep. Well, that's a banana. I'll have a banana. I like bananas. Dr. Drew would go, hey, if you got a hangover, have that banana, get the potassium and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
I didn't think anything about bananas. It was something that grew, something that God created. It wasn't
filling.
It was great. It was great. And I even grew up sort of thinking, if you want to put on muscle or weight or whatever, eat a banana. And bananas, slice it up in a cereal or whatever. Yeah. You'd make the cereal healthier.
Big bowl of granola.
And big bowl, the same thing. Or slice your banana on your big bowl of granola and all that stuff. And I rolled right into my 50s thinking that way. And at some point, a guy named Vinnie Tortorich said, don't eat bananas, but do eat avocados. Mm-hmm. And I like avocados and I like bananas. And if you would have got hold of me some few years ago and said, what's healthier, an avocado or a banana? I go, oh, I don't know. The banana's got this, but the avocado's probably got a lot of fat in it. Like, avocado's considered a fruit, and a banana, I guess, is a fruit. I guess it's a tie or flip a coin, or they're both kind of dense and
they offer different things,
sweet and nice or whatever. I wouldn't have known. Vinnie Tortorich said, don't eat bananas. It's all ton of sugar. And do eat avocados. It's really good for you. And since he told me that, I've eaten zero bananas and 5,000 avocados.
Same here.
Because the guy who knows told me that.
Look at you, old dog with new tricks.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people who would have been exactly the same with their avocado and or banana intake, and they would have given you a thing of like, oh, I just eat them, I put them in a smoothie, or I don't really, or something, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you, they even would have talked to you about it. Why be that way? And then who are those people? Then what are they expecting out of life?
Yeah. You have
I've literally eaten zero. I've not had a bite of a banana since Vinny said don't eat a banana, but I took an avocado and put some olive oil in it and some salt and pepper and just ate it out of a bowl last night. And there was a whole thing of bananas next to the avocados, but the smart guy told me not to do that.
And now you're armed with the information. Now you can take control and
people don't like to be...
Why are we in a minority who act this way? That's what I want to say. Why isn't that the overwhelming majority of human beings? Forget about this country. Like, all over the world... Or why is it no one I went to high school with acts that way?
People don't like
to
be wrong.
Are they know what they know?
Yeah.
Like, what? How does this work?
And that means they've dispensed bad information. So they can't, they don't want to square with that.
Yeah.
Moms.
Like Max Apata clinging to his gay thing over there.
Well, he insists he's gay.
It's weird that more people are wired to ignore that information.
Yeah, because you can turn it around at any point. You know what I mean? The information that you got wrong is like, oh, now I know.
Well, the information is the information.
Yeah.
Now, this means you then eat many more avocados than you do bananas. But if, in fact, you love daiquiris or pina coladas or whatever you mix a banana with,
daiquiri,
or you just happen to love it, and you want to have it on your cereal or in your drink once a week, then by all means.
Have at it.
But the idea that you just kind of ignore it and move on.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Given the choice.
All right.
All things being equal.
How you doing with... The Jim lady defecating Jim Abbott.
Still working on it.
How long is the lady defecate from the time the yoga pants drop, from the time she makes her move with the yoga pants to the time that the Duke leaves her hand? Do you have that number?
6 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. This is going to be easy for you then.
Yeah, the security footage just sped up a little bit, though. Like, if you remember, it's like kind of fast.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I did not know it.
Yeah, the frame rate's a little
Couldn't tell. All right, so we'll have to adjust for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Poor Jim Abbott. Getting cheated at every turn.
Yeah, first Tawny Katane, and now this.
Tawny Katane. That's Chuck Finley.
Oh, damn it.
Another angel.
And it was a tall,
another
blonde
left-handed angel pitcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
He's like a 6'6 professional athlete, and... was battered by Tawny Katane.
Beaten up pretty good.
Yeah.
Chuck's a handsome fella. Was. I don't know.
He was, till Tawny got hold of him.
Rearranged some things.
Not so pretty anymore.
Oh, he's so pretty
you
no more.
You see Raging Bull? All right. Let me tell you guys about Bespoke Post. Oh, yeah. Love these guys. One of my favorite perks of this job is getting the box of awesome from Bespoke Post. I love it. Got my aged whiskey glass set and, of course, my knife. Hold my knife right now. Never take my hands off this thing. I just keep moving. The action is so good on it. Brian opened it, couldn't close it the other day.
You're the only one who knows how to close it.
I'm the gatekeeper of the knife I got from Bespoke Post. Anyway, it's a present to me from me. I love that. Do it for yourself, man. You do it monthly, and you can experience that, too. Boxofawesome.com is where you go. Answer a few questions. Help them get the feel for your style. Each box goes for under $50, has more than $70 worth of unique gear in it, and is all top-end stuff. On the first of each month, you'll receive an email with the details. You'll have 5 days to change your colors or sizes or add extra goods if you're not feeling it. Then you don't need to get it. Mm-hmm. Don't get that month's box if you ain't feel it. Simply skip it. No pressure. Check out boxofawesome.com. Dawson.
To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to boxofawesome.com and enter promo code Adam at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com. Promo code Adam for your 20% off your first box. Bespoke Post themed boxes for guys that give a damn.
All right. Let's see. Our uppity screening, free admission this Saturday, 7 o'clock, Indianapolis Museum of Art at the Tobias Theater, Q&A after. Where are people supposed to? Didn't somebody give me a website for that?
Yeah, that's been changed during this show. It's just going to be a first come, first serve now. So
okay.
Theater seats 500, just come if you want to watch it.
All right. Sounds like an exciting show. What would Brusca say about that?
Hold on.
He'll find it.
It's a great show. A lot of fun.
Hype man.
All right.
He's no DJ Khaled, that's for sure.
Second show at Portland added, so check that out.
It's a great show. A lot of fun.
On the 9th. Jay Hayden is coming in. Station 19, name of the show. Second season coming on ABC. First season, all available on Hulu now. Talk to him about everything and Home Improvement and when he found out he wasn't gay and all that good stuff. All right, after a break and good sports.
One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Ace, you're allowed to gamble now. I don't think you ever put up any stop signs on yourself to this point in your life, but now it's legal in all the 50 states. Wait, is it though?
No, not
all. They have to say
states.
It's allowed, but you're technically, yes, each state can now make it legal.
Yeah, who cares? Here's what I'm going to say. In life, you must govern yourself. What's your favorite food, Dave Damashek?
Well, that's a long discussion, but I'll just say pizza.
Pizza. But it's full of carbs, and you can't eat it every night.
Ah.
That's, by the way, can I tell you something that's heartbreaking?
Tell.
I have done hours on the worst pizza topping, which is a cut up circle of tomato, because all it does is bleed out. It's hot tomato.
That's right.
It gets pussy. It's weird. And also,
it sogs up your crust as well.
Right. And in a world where you have meatball and sausage and onion and all. Look, Canadian bacon, in a world where so much good, olive is good, everything is good, that somebody would put whole slices of tomato, a redundant tomato,
that's
because
exactly
it's all
right.
Tomato sauce. Anyway, I returned home on Saturday to see a large pizza in my kitchen covered with pepperoni. I will say this, we've debated the pepperoni before. I'm not a pepperoni hater. I don't have it at the top of the leaderboard.
I understand your message.
Cousin Sal has it at the top of the leaderboard. Pepperoni can be overdone because it's too salty, and sometimes if you can't see the pizza through the pepperoni, and I know it sounds like a metaphor for appreciating what you have, but it's like too much pepperoni, too salty. I walked in. All pepperoni, and then my wife had ordered tomato slices. And I said, what's up? And she said, that's how I like it. Now, to be fair,
big fan of the show.
She puts a little bit of basil on it, which is fine. But tomato slices on a pizza, first off, there's nothing it adds. It just adds a warm, pussy kind of texture to the top of your pizza. Tomato in and of itself doesn't taste like really much of anything. Hot tomato tastes like nothing.
That's right.
It goes to zero. It just becomes a weird texture that just bleeds out. And again, if somebody said to me, well, we don't have any toppings except for tomato, I'd say hold the tomato. If they said to me, you must have a topping, it could be cat poop or tomato, I'd go put the cat poop on. I'll pick it off.
That's another.
I live with a person.
You also can't pee. That's another thing that's bad about it. As opposed to pepperoni, if you don't want it, good luck getting the tomato off.
The tomato. Well, first off, you get the carcass of the tomato off. The main pus is left behind.
Right.
The congealed pus on the top. I live with people who like tomato slices on their pizzas, and then when we eat Mexican, have violent arguments with the waiter about not bringing rice and beans. The best part of the entire, that hot plate with the beans and the cheese melting on the top of the rice, you put
sure.
a little salsa on top and you start commingling or whatever. I live with those people.
I feel for you.
Thank
and
you.
What a cross that must be for you to bear, being an expert about on the world of food. You know, I mean, second to me, but still, you know your stuff. The tomato is also, I mean, the worst execution of a tomato is people in Chicago put a tomato wedge, a wedge of tomato on your on their wieners. That's the most.
Right.
Why would you
hold
do
on.
That? Isn't
hold
that?
Hold on.
No. Think about it. It's nauseating.
Hold on. I like a Chicagoan dog.
I don't.
A lot.
No.
I enjoy. I don't need the tomato. I agree. But I like the Chicagoan style dog.
Shame on you.
Okay.
See, and then you just say that you're an expert on food. I give you kudos, and then you slap me in the face with a wedge of tomato, which has no business on a wiener.
All right. We'll see.
A boiled wiener? That's how you take it? Not grilled? By the way, I was on the air.
It's not boiled. It's like poached so that you get the casing and the snap of the casing and the rush of juice that comes after it.
Matt Money Smith tried to embarrass me, but it was him who wound up being red in the face when I filled in on Petros and Money 2 weeks ago. And he said, I defy you to eat this Dodger dog. And then he went into a whole thing. And then we got into a thing about how Adam Carolla hates the Dodger dog.
Yes.
And then he and I came together on the fact that you were wrong about that. Now, listen, it's not, you know, a high-end one, but at a ballpark, it's a pretty good one. But he put mustard on one side, ketchup on the other. He said, I dare you to taste the side with ketchup and tell me it tastes as good as the side with mustard. And I did. And I said, it does taste as good. What is that business? What does he care? My issue is, who's he to tell me what the rules are, what I put on my wiener? I'm here to tell you what to put on your wiener. And I'm telling you in Chicago, no tomato wedges. And I'll put ketchup on there if I please.
I like the Chicagoan style dog, and to me, Carney's makes the best one.
What were you saying about gambling?
Oh. I would like to live in a world where everyone was in charge of their own vices. If you would like to look at a little internet porn and maybe the family's out of the house and it's a non-work day and you got all the time you need, well, then by all means. If it's a thing where you're looking at it in a crowded elevator and feverishly masturbating in front of strangers, then maybe we've entered a different realm where it's become a problem. And if you'd like to bet on the Super Bowl or you got a good feeling about the Steelers game this weekend, then by all means. I don't want the government legislating everything because it kind of, you have to have a muscle. And that muscle that you must develop is, when is it okay to have a piece of pie for dessert and when am I overdoing it? When is it okay to say, I've had two beers while we've been watching the game, but I got to drive home, so I'm cut myself off. Or, speaking of driving home, the speed limit says 65, you're doing 73, but why not 115? You know what I mean? All we can do is regulate. By the way, in a further extrapolation, I'm on a Southwest flight, guy's flying with his girlfriend. He asked me if I mind switching seats with him so he can sit next to his gal, and I have to make a decision. I don't want government bureaucrats telling me when to switch seats, how many chili fries to eat, if I can gamble on a game, when I can have a second beer. I'd like everyone to have that little Mr. Peanut that lives in all our heads, making the right decisions. And I don't think they can if you take that out of their hands.
I think that's the crux of why you can't do that. Your best reference with that is always, we all as a society now have suffered for 20 years at least because one guy threw a glass bottle down onto a field once, and now we all have to drink out of the lesser crappy plastic bottles at the ballpark.
Right.
It's because I believe 96%, 98% of humanity would arrive at the same set of morals and ethics if there were no religion. But religion is there to provide that for people who need the roadmap of decency to guide them through. But we all would arrive at that same place if we were making those decisions on our own. But it's those outliers that ruin it for everybody. If you're predisposed, do you want to shoot heroin? The chances are that you're not going to become an addict from it. But the person who is predisposed to addiction is now going to put the stink on heroin being legal. That's an extreme example, but it's valid.
Well,
it's those outliers that ruin it for everybody.
But here's the problem with the outliers. I'm not sure if I'm helping your point or hurting it.
I don't know if ditto.
When you take those outliers used to be folks who got a fake note from their doctor to fly with their dogs on an airplane for free. At a certain point, that was 1% of the flying public. If you go back to 1999, much less than 1% of the flying public engaged in that horrible behavior. If you took a flight with 250 people, there wasn't three dogs on it. The flight with 250 people had no dogs on it, maybe one dog every 10th flight. Now there's five dogs on a flight that has 89 people on it.
Yeah.
So the 97% who wouldn't go that direction are taking the path of least resistance and coaxed to go. You'd be a sucker not to go down.
That's right.
With the 3%.
You see it with your kids all the time, don't you? It's like, well, why does he get that? I need to take full advantage of that. If you are ever giving something free, if you have free keychains to give away, people get in line. Can I get an extra one of those? People
right.
always want to push it to see how far they can go. That's the among the many bad parts of the human condition. That's it. There's always going to be some small percentage of people that want to see how far they can push it. Even if the rule is lax, they want to see if they can go a little across the line. That's
yes.
It's like why socialism or communism doesn't ultimately work. In theory, it should be a great structure for a society, but of course there are those outliers that have to try and seize power. Anyway, all right, I don't know where we got off on gambling there, but I we talked about wieners and communism. So well done, Ace.
Thank
Podcast
you.
One Sports, Good Sports, back tomorrow. Good Sports.